The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
It looks like Finland and Sweden are set to join or apply to join NATO. What more is Russia saying on this issue?
Well, the response from Russia, predictably, has been highly negative. The presidential spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, saying that Russia will take this bid for NATO membership by Finland as a definitive security threat to Russia.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, there's a lot going on now in the international community, and you know, Russia has threatened both Sweden and Finland in the past. Well, let's talk about that. We'll talk about that for a moment. Finland, of course, traditionally has been a neutral nation in Northern Europe, shares a border with Russia, and began to look to the military alliance along with neighboring Sweden after Russia just rolled into Ukraine in late February. And I think we all know, looking at it objectively, it was a miscalculation on the part of Vladimir Putin. I mean, I don't blame the guy. I mean, honestly, if I was in his position, I thought I'm going to roll in there, and 48 hours later, I'm going to decapitate the government. I'm going to take the capital, and I'll do what I did in Crimea. I'll get a slap on the wrist, and big deal, right? It has really cascaded into something well beyond, I think, his expectation. And now Russia is saying that the Finnish interest in NATO is a threat and may be subject to retaliation. And we talked about that before, right? You know, he threatened possibly nuclear weapons. If Finland and Sweden come into NATO, which the door is open for, and just to give you a geographic perspective on this, just for a second, 800-mile border with Russia, right? That's Finland. So if Finland does join NATO, I think it's going to happen in the next couple of months. If I was Vladimir Putin, I'd be taking a deep breath right now. Now, look, has any of NATO been aggressive against Russia? Of course not. Russia's using this to go in and to take over Ukraine. But Russia is threatening to put a medium-range nuclear weapon on its border with Finland if they join NATO. Okay, there you have it. Let's pray that the consecration that Pope Francis had conducted bears good fruit. And it will. I'm so convinced of it. I keep talking about this because I think this is all part of the playbook. I think this is all part of how the chips are going to fall. I think when we pray, when we turn to God, when we invoke His mercy, when we ask Our Lady's intercession, when we consecrate the world to her Immaculate Heart, things are set in motion. And you and I may not see it. You know why? Because we are in the forest. We only see the trees. God sees the big view, right? And there are big things at play right now. We may not see why this tree falls and how it affects something else, but I'll tell you what, that threat from Vladimir Putin does not concern me. And I think if he could redo it, if he could do it again, he certainly would not have invaded Ukraine. Not at the cost to his nation and to his reputation. Certainly would not have done it. But the question is, how does he get out of this, right? There is talk right now that he might be able to, he's trying to find a way out. Let's put it that way. Russia's not doing well with this war in Ukraine, right? At least at the moment. One intelligence expert I saw, he said that Russia appears to withdraw from some areas of Ukraine, and there appears to be discussions about a referendum for the area of Kherson to join Russia. So that might be it, right? There are a lot of Russian speakers in that region. What's not clear, though, is what would happen if the Kherson voters rejected joining up with Russia, right? Has anybody thought about that? What happens if they say, no way, we don't want you to know? What would happen? Would it be a rigged election? What's going to happen? There's a lot of possibilities here. The British Defense Ministry said that Russia is withdrawing troops from certain key areas, including Kharkiv. That's, as you know, the second largest city of Ukraine, where they've reportedly suffered heavy losses. So Vladimir Putin and his army not faring well against really the vigor, the intensity of these people. I saw footage of a guy in Mariupol the other day. He's a soldier, right? He says, look, we're taking heavy losses. But there's a lot of injuries, lots of loss of life. And he's willing to die. He's sitting there saying, you're basically talking to a dead man. But that's the reason why Mariupol is so hard to take, because these men are willing to lay down their lives for freedom, for their country. And who wants to fight against that, right? I'm sure these Russian soldiers don't. The city of Mariupol is on the Black Sea, and Russian troops have surrounded a steel mill there, which Ukrainian troops are now trying to just defend in order to keep the city from falling into the hands of Russian forces. And the AP, that's the Associated Press, they reported that the wives of two of the Ukrainian soldiers went to Rome. They met with the Pope. They met with the Holy Father. And they said to Pope Francis, you know, this is at a Wednesday meeting, Wednesday audience, it was yesterday, and they asked him to intervene. So let me share with you what you know, one of the women said.
At the end of his general audience, Pope Francis received a pair of special visitors. Translator explained to the Pope that the husbands of these two Ukrainian women are fighting in Mariupol. The Pope stood up despite his knee pain to show his respect. Their husbands are part of the famous Azov Regiment, the same one currently barricaded in the Azovstal Steelworks. The two women became emotional as they spoke to the Pope and asked him for this favor. Their names are Katerina and Yulia. Pope Francis prayed with them for a few moments and imparted his blessing.
So let's pray for them. Of course, a lot of women now have lost their spouses as a result of this war, but they asked the Holy Father for some way that the soldiers can get out of the mill and into the third world country. They don't want, you know, with their husbands to fall into Russian hands. That soldier I heard, he says that's a death sentence too. They'll be tortured, they'll be killed. And it's a pretty pretty egregious fate. You know, on that note, I want to remind you of something, and I want to give credit to our nation's bishops. And I've spoken about this yesterday, and I'll remind you today, as you hear these stories, and I've been following Ukraine when it broke. Of course, all eyes are on it. But after a story lingers there for a while, people's attentions go to other things, you know, inflation, the economy, the Dobbs case, all these different things. It's important that we continue to keep this part of the world in our prayer. The war, the Virgin said in Fatima, you know, was really a result of sin. And we have to amend our ways. We are a sinful nation. The things that we're doing in this country, I think, draws down the hand of God. And I could see this nation, as great as we are, and I love our country, but boy, we've got some really bad policy, and we have really, we continue to spill innocent blood and continue to really harm the most vulnerable, those children, not just in the womb, but outside. You know, I think about that scripture where the Lord talks about putting a millstone around your neck. You're better off doing that than to harm one of these children. Look, we're doing it in the grade schools, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. You want to indoctrinate them with all this gender ideology and, you know, all this deviance that we have out there right now. I mean, that calls down God's justice. So our bishops, in response to that leaked draft by the Supreme Court when they were looking at the Dobbs case, Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, they're calling us tomorrow. And I a little bit later, I'm going to talk to you about the power of this, about the spiritual importance of this. But I want to put it on your radar because you might be hearing this for the first time. The nation's bishops are asking you and me to fast and to pray tomorrow. And they say, in the midst of current tensions, we invite Catholics around the country to join us in fasting and praying the rosary on Friday. Friday, of course, is May 13th, right? It's the great apparition, the anniversary of the apparitions of Fatima. May 13th was a huge day. It was also a day that John Paul II got shot. There's a lot of Fatima. May 13th is like the Fatima day. So they want us to use the weapon that Our Lady said would bring an end to the war. They want us to use that weapon that they said would bring about peace, right? That would bind the evil one. And that weapon is the rosary. So you say, tomorrow, pray and fast. Fast especially, and pick up your rosary. Offer your prayers for our nation, for this, for the end of Roe v. Wade, for the overturning it, for Our Lady's intercession, you know, with the church, for our legislators. They have a whole litany of things. We posted it yesterday, I think, on Twitter, their request. So you can go and check it out at Drew Mariani Show. And I'll talk to you more about it, but I invite you to do that. Father Rocky, of course, prays the rosary every evening at 7 p.m. You can join him here at the network, just as you join me every afternoon at 3 Central for the chaplain. We'll be praying that coming up in a moment or two. But that's the solution. And I sit back, I think, what can I do? I'm glad I have a microphone. I'm glad I can talk to you. I'm glad I can give you some truth. I can bring these issues to you so you're in the know and you can share, you know, the truth with others. But more importantly, I'm glad that we can pray. 45 minutes or so, we'll pray. Right? Tonight, we'll pray. Tomorrow, I hope you'll etch out time, you know, to pray. Fast tomorrow. Skip breakfast. Skip lunch if you can. Moderate what you eat if you have to eat, right? If you can't give up food, give up television. Give up that bottle of wine or that cigarette. You know, maybe walk instead of drive. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we can do. Maybe give alms. I mean, there's lots of ways we can sacrifice, right? We can do penance. A lot of ways we can abstain. I know we can. Try not talking for an hour. You know, that's, I don't know if I could do that. I went on a silent retreat once. Oh, my Lord in heaven, have mercy on me. I was at some Cistercian monastery. So I don't know. I went with a priest friend of mine and somebody else. It was for like a weekend. I thought I was going to go crazy. My wife's girlfriend said to her, oh my gosh, your poor husband. He must be so tired after being on the air for 3 hours talking nonstop. And she says, you'd think, right? No, not so much. He comes home and he doesn't stop talking, right? So I guess God put me in the right position here. But I mean, that's a penance too. Maybe you say, hey, I'm not going to use my cell phone today. You know, I mean, there's a lot, just, you can be creative about how you want to fast. If you're, I mean, think of how attached we are to our phones. How often do you check your email, your social media? How often do you text? How much you get caught up in the news? That's a great fast, right? So tomorrow, prayer and fasting, we can talk more about it. In fact, I'll talk about it a little bit later after we pray. Just two final stories. Pray for our country too. There's a couple listeners on our west coast of the country who often call for rain. They're asking for rain. A wildfire started yesterday in Southern California, already damaged about 20 homes, a lot of multi-million dollar mansions, and now evacuation orders have been issued. So let's pray for our country and for this drought that we're experiencing and for all the other problems we face. And then, you know, let's pray for Tom Brady. Boy, I hope he's listening. Tom, if you're listening, you can join our pledge drive at 877-291-0123. Tom Brady, did you hear about this? Fox Sports has reportedly offered him $375 million to broadcast. What a gig. You're going to play, he's going to play for Tampa again, and will he go another year or two? Maybe. The guy's the GOAT, right? That's what they call him, the greatest of all time. 10-year contract, though, when he's done, for $375 million. So, not a bad deal. Congratulations, Mr. Brady. We wish you the best. All right, let me change gears very quickly. I do want to talk about one other issue that we have here that I do think warrants some discussion. And it's an important one. It really is. It's an important one. And again, if you want to join the conversation too, let me throw out the numbers to you. I always forget to allow you to do that, but it's 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can get in any time you like and sound off and share your views. So feel free to go ahead and to do that. I want to share with you a little bit on the front for life. And we've been talking a lot about the life issue recently, right? You know, we've been dialing into this. This is big news, due to Dobbs and so many other things. And I don't know if you heard yesterday, the Senate was going to vote on a bill that would codify codify Roe as the law of the land. So with 49 votes in support, 51 against, the Women's Health Protection Act was 11 short of the 60 votes needed to be fully debated in the 100-member Senate. Here's an overview of what went down yesterday, and they knew it was not going to pass. I'll tell you why I think they did it.
The A's are 49. The nays it's are back 51. To the drawing board for congressional Democrats trying to find a legislative path to protect abortion rights under federal law.
The motion is not agreed to.
The vote to advance the Women's Health Protection Act failing in the Senate as expected. But Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer arguing the vote was important in light of that bombshell leaked draft Supreme Court opinion written by Justice Alito suggesting federal abortion rights could soon be overturned.
For the first time in 50 years, a conservative majority, an extreme majority on the Supreme Court, is on the brink of declaring that women do not have freedom over their own bodies.
The Women's Health Protection Act would protect access to abortion under federal law and state restrictions and limitations like mandatory ultrasounds and waiting periods, and would give health care providers the right to provide abortion care. Senate Democrats say they're open to ending the 60-vote threshold needed to pass the bill, but don't have enough support. Republican Senators Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who support some abortion rights, voting against the bill, saying it's more broad than Roe versus Wade itself. Senate GOP leader Mitch McConnell, who recently floated the idea of a national abortion ban, blasting the Women's Health Protection Act.
Democrats' bill would functionally allow elective abortion through all 9 months, abortion until the moment of birth.
Overnight, more protests.
Keep abortion safe and legal.
Dozens of demonstrators on both sides chanting outside the U.S. Supreme Court. Democrats say if the legislative path to pass a federal abortion rights law doesn't work, they're going to let voters decide.
Well, there you have it. Chuck Schumer, who is the Senate Majority Leader, he was just trying to make a point. He wants voters to know that Republicans don't want abortion on demand in this country. And you know what, Senator Schumer? I'm glad you did this. I am so glad you did this. I love those who stood up for life. They should be applauded and kept in office. You know, he thinks, oh, people aren't going to vote for him. They're not for a woman's right to kill their child, right? That's the mentality. They're so blinded, so mired, so deep into this culture of death that they've lost their rationality is what has ultimately happened. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I mean, those who vote to keep abortion legal in this country are on the wrong side of history. And you're going to look back, your kids and your grandkids and future generations, and say, how could these people think that? How could they do that? You know, once the blindness, once those scales fall off the eyes and people really realize, you know, how wrong they were. Now, earlier this week, there was a group calling itself Jane's Revenge. It claimed responsibility for a fire and vandalism at Wisconsin's Family Action Office in Madison. We spoke to somebody from there earlier in the week, and that was just one act of vandalism that happened across the country in response to the Dobbs leak, or the Supreme Court decision that would overturn Roe v. Wade and Casey, v. Planned Parenthood. But whoever vandalized the office spray painted in cursive, if abortions aren't safe, then you aren't evil. You aren't either. If abortions aren't safe, you aren't either. And that's a threat that got a lot of people's attention. So Jane's Revenge has reportedly issued a 30-day ultimatum. So you got 30 days from the time they spray painted that for all pro-life organizations and crisis pregnancy centers just to disband. And if you don't, you better get ready because there's going to be an attack. People were throwing Molotov cocktails at these places, right? That's a serious and it's a very dangerous. It is a terroristic threat. And this is going to happen across the country. So I've invited Brian Gibson. He's the executive director of Pro-Life Action Ministries in St. Paul, Minnesota. Been on the front lines for years fighting for the innocent, fighting for life. You can find him at PLAM.org. It stands for Pro-Life Action Ministries. He joins me today. Brian, thanks for your time. Great to have you back.
Well, thanks for inviting me on the show, Drew. Good to be with you.
Boy, so much going on. A couple things. Let's start with the Schumer vote. What did you make of that?
Well, I think exactly what he said, I think, is we got to take face value at his words. He honestly believes that having this vote taken will be negative for the pro-life senators that voted against it. Yeah. Yesterday, you know, one of them was a Democrat too.
Yeah.
So, Joe Manchin from West Virginia voted against it as well, and he's been stalwart in keeping really horrible stuff from going through the U.S. Senate this year.
Yeah. God bless him. In terms of safety, I want to talk about that here too. I know that you've dealt with a lot of women in crisis. I am assuming. That you're taking this threat seriously. You've heard the threat. Is there any way to tell whether it's legitimate? Is it just words and saber rattling? Or, is your organization and others getting ready 30 days from now? Because you're not going to close your doors. You're going to be there for women. What are you planning? What are you expecting? What's your takeaway from it?
Well, I there's a lot there. And I think, first of all, whether it's just words and saber rattling, as you said, or if it's a real threat, only time will tell. You know, unfortunately, the fact is that there was, you know, one building that they went and threw the Molotov cocktail at. They're in Madison, Wisconsin. There's a second building that was, I think, the Concerned Women for America in Washington, D.C., and then a couple pregnancy help centers around the country. So, you know, they aren't all the same organization taking so-called credit for these things or threatening. It's just one or two that are threatening. So, you know, I think we have to here's what I do, and here's what I'm admonishing toward our own people. We have seen no violence in Minnesota where we're at, or in Florida, in our two locations. So we haven't had any issues. In fact, things are a little calmer on the streets right now than they have been leading up to the leaked draft. So I don't know what to take of that other than, you know, we'll keep doing what we do. We're saving lives. But we have to be careful. Yeah. We have to be aware. I'm telling people to be very situationally aware with their surroundings when they're out and doing things. And we'll take precautions, but keep doing what we do.
Let me put it in perspective for those who may not be familiar with ProLife Action Ministries does, and you could probably elaborate on that. Your main ministry is sidewalk counseling, right, in front of abortion clinics. So and I know you do more than that, but are you at all concerned about the safety of your volunteers? Have you ever had threats leveled against you or your organization in the past, and what have you done to stay safe?
Well, yes, we've had threats leveled at us on the streets, you know, in front of the abortion facilities and so forth. We're quick to call the police when that happens. Our local authorities have been very good. The police department in all the areas where we work have been very good and quick to respond. So our people are well trained. If something like this happens, you back away from the incident. If you need to leave, you leave for your own personal safety. But most of the time, these threats are just words that are being thrown out. And so often, and it's hard to judge which it is in the moment. So always side on precaution. But, you know, our people are so courageous, Drew. You know, they were going out while the riots were taking place through Minneapolis and St. Paul in 2020. They amazed me how courageous,
that's awesome.
More courageous than I am sometimes, some of our regular sidewalk counselors out there. And, you know, these are men and women who have dedicated their time to try and save innocent people from being killed. And they know that there's no reward in this life for doing this. Mm-hmm. And they're dedicated to it. And I, you know, there are some that may not go out because of threats, but there are others that will go out despite them.
Hey, Brian, a final thought here. I'm just curious as to where you stand on this. There was some discussion, at least within my circle, several months ago before we knew that they were going to be looking at the Dobbs case. And I had the sense that just based on how bad the law was, that Roe's going to be overturned at some point. And somebody said to me, do you think there'll be rioting in the streets like we saw with George Floyd? Do you think people are going to, you know, go crazy over this issue? Is the ferocity of the reaction to this leaked draft opinion, does it surprise you? Do you think it's going to get worse if they come out and Roe is overturned? Or do you think this is probably the level of intensity that we're going to see? How did you read that? What's your sense? What did you expect?
Well, I guess we expected that there would be a violent response by some. Fortunately, by very few. But, you know, we did expect it. We've been planning for that. You know, we put security cameras on our building. We've been graffitied dozens of times over the years. So it's, you know, those acts have been going on for a while. They haven't happened since this leak came out, though. And I think to some degree, the worst of it's going to happen now. It's almost going to be anticlimactic now when the Supreme Court actually releases its decision, if it's the same decision that we're seeing in this draft.
Well, look, I want to put a plug in for your organization and all pro-life organizations across the country. If you have ever thought about supporting a pro-life group, now's the time to do it, more than ever. There are millions, tens of millions, probably even more than that now flowing into Planned Parenthood and a lot of these other activist groups in an effort to continue the fight and the division that we're seeing in our country and to keep this culture of death alive. I think Satan becomes more aggressive when he knows his time is running short. It's like a cornered animal, and I think that's what's happening here with those in the culture of death. So, you know, you can check out PLAM.org, great organization. That's Brian Gibson's organization. He's the executive director there of the Pro-Life Action Ministries. Or any pro-life organization in your area, support, donate to, bring diapers, milk. You know, let anybody in those crisis pregnancy centers that take care of mothers in need, find out what their needs are. And see what you can do. And if you can volunteer your time, too, that's important. Above all, pray. Hey, Brian, thank you for being with me. Always good to talk with you.
Always good to be on your show with you, Drew.
Thanks.
Thank
Brian,
you.
What time are you on Saturday in the Twin Cities?
12:30 Saturday, just afternoon.
All right. Well, check him out there. You can hear Brian in that market as well. I've got to take a short pause. Stay with me. I'll be back on the other side with more. Don't go away.
We receive hundreds of your phone calls every day, all thanks to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line. Our sponsor offers flexible life insurance and annuities. Visit relevantradio.com/Forester today. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
The Drew Mariani Show. On Relevant Radio.
Yeah, money can't buy a love. Maggie says, Drew, you're going to like this bumper. I said, why? She says, you've been singing it all week. You ever, that ever happened to you? You kind of get a melody stuck in your head and you just keep singing it. Can't buy me love. You can't. Hey, money can stress you out though, can it? It can rob you of your hope. With the Fed raising the rates, have you looked at your credit card interest rate lately? I mean, how is your credit card doing, by the way? You know, filling up at the gas pump? Ow! Right? Gas prices are on the rise. My heart goes out. I said to my wife, I mean, how are my kids doing this? You know, I got young adult children now, you know? It's like the producer price index for April that came out this morning. And I'm not here to depress you. I just want to talk to you about it and get you on the page as to what you can do. The PPI came out for April. Doesn't look good. Yesterday's CPI, the Consumer Price Index, it showed a slight decrease for the month before. And today's PPI report, which measures how much wholesalers are charging, you know, retailers, it showed an 11% increase over last year's level. So that comes after an 11.5% increase in March. So inflation slowed down a little, not much. Eventually, those producers are going to be sending those cost increases over to you, right? The consumer, which means that the consumer price index will be going up beyond the 8.4% that was reported yesterday. And I guess this is not news for you. I've seen a lot of polls out there. You know, we talked about Russia and Ukraine. We talked about all these different issues. Number one concern for people, inflation. Number one. It's your wallet, right? You still got to put food on the table. You still have to keep the lights on. You still have to put gas in the car. The Federal Reserve Bank's response to all this, well, of course, it's been to raise the interest rates. They're trying to tiptoe around it. They're raising them by these little increments, a half point rather than a full point. But they're going up nonetheless. And that means that interest rates on all kinds of loans are going up as well. And I'm not sure if you see these numbers, you might say, I don't know what the CPI is. I don't know what the PPI is. Well, mortgage rates are going up. Back in November, you probably could have got a 30-year mortgage for high twos, low threes, right? Today, it's over 5%, closing in on 6. Mortgage rates are up. If you wait, right, if those rates continue to go up, you pay a lot more for your loan. I was reading a piece in the Wall Street Journal, I think it was over the weekend, and they showed you the average cost of the home and what those difference in rates mean, not only in your monthly paycheck, but what it's going to mean in terms of the life of that loan. It's a lot of money. Student loans, something I've been talking about for a long time here, right? Whenever those go back to repayment, those interest rates are probably going to go back up and they're going to jump. So you're going to be paying even more than you're paying right now. And your kids are too. So there are your credit cards. The interest rates on those cards are generally tied to the Fed's rate. So they've been pretty cheap over the past several years as the Fed has had easy money policy. But they're beginning to tighten up, and your interest rates are going to start going up as well. So that means as things get more expensive and you see shortages of the things you want to buy, of items, even basic items like baby formula, right? I saw a piece last night on baby formula. It's actually sad. Mothers are watering it down. Don't do that. They're looking for alternative, you know, means. I bet breastfeeding is going to go up, you know, it's going to increase, and makes sense to do that. Everything from food to baby formula is now on the rise. So what do we do? How bad is it going to get? How do you safeguard and protect yourself from all of this? I'll open the phones too. We'll take a couple of your calls today for Paul Auster. He's the he joins us. He's the CEO of Better Qualified. It's an incredible company who I've had on here in the past. It specializes in business and consumer credit services. So if you're having issues in this area, turn up the radio, or somebody you know is, have them tune in. He's an expert on how major credit bureaus, how they operate, and he's been a great friend of this show, and he speaks all over the country. Check him out at betterqualified.com. Betterqualified.com. Paul, thanks for making time for us today. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me back on, Drew.
Boy, a lot to get into here for sure. I don't even know where to start. Rising interest rates. Let's talk about something that everybody has probably in their wallet, a credit card. How much are credit card interest rates rising? The Fed raises its they've raised the rate, half a point? How does that translate to the consumer? And if they continue to ratchet that up like they say they're going to, what's that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, your listeners need to know, like you said, the Federal Reserve rate is tied to the prime rate, which, you know, ultimately trickles down to all other interest rates, especially credit cards. All of our credit cards are variable interest rates. So it might not seem like a lot right now, maybe $10, $20 a month more. The average balance is back up. It was up close to 20% last quarter. And that might mean, again, $10, $20 extra for the minimum payment. But when you start to add all that together, and this is just the first two of what will probably be five or six raises. So at the end of this, you'll probably see at least a 3% jump in that variable interest rate. It was down, high 15, 16. It'll be over 19% by the time the Fed is done.
Yeah.
But what we really have to do is figure out why people are only making those minimum payments. Because if you have a payoff plan, this won't affect you as much as somebody who's just, you know, treading water, making those minimum payments. You know, if you have a $5,000 balance on your credit card and you only made the minimum payment, you know, it would take you about 22 years to pay off that $5,000, and you wind up paying over $6,000 in interest.
Wow.
So, you know, we're kicking the can down the road here a little bit with those people who are only making their minimum payments. That number is going to grow. It might be 25 years, and it might be, $10,000 in interest. So people really need to take a look at why they're not able to pay off their credit card debt. Why? You know, people fail to do a household budget. They live in a crisis mode every 30 days. You know, and I'm not always the most popular guy in the room when I kind of point the finger at you, right? So you got to look in the mirror and say, why is this? Look, we're all basically on this fixed income. Unless we get a windfall of cash, how are we going to get out of debt? Now, the good news is, if you put a plan together, you will be surprised at how quickly you could actually get out of debt. It tends to accelerate. As soon as you start paying down the first $10, $50, $100, it gets easier. Your money goes further as you're paying down your debt. You start knocking down the principal, and it accelerates. So just focus on, if you're in credit card debt, cut your credit cards up, right? Call the companies, put a freeze on them, do something that doesn't allow you to use that card, and then figure out how you're going to pay the balances down.
My guest today, Paul Auster. We'll take your calls too. If you had a question, maybe you're in the situation, you don't see a way out, feel free to give us a call at 888-914-9149. I just think the situation that looms for people who are already in this debt, it doesn't look good. And you're right, Paul. They need to really be aggressive today, because as gas prices rise, you know, if they're barely making their credit card payment, they may be using the credit card to fill their tank or buying the groceries that they need or whatever else. You know, when things are tight, you go ahead and they rely on the credit card, and then it just gets bigger. And as you know, that interest, man, it's deadly. It is absolutely deadly. You talk about paying down debt. So there's a couple different approaches to it. One is the snowball, method. I think Dave Ramsey teaches that. I think that's one of his, where, you know, I think you pay your smallest balance first. And then when that's paid off, you apply, say it was $100, your smallest balance. Then you take that $100 as though you still had it and apply it to the second largest balance. Then there's others who say, wait a minute, hold on. I got to pay the highest interest rate down because, well, I'm paying 15% on this card and that one's only 9%, even though the thing is smaller. So what's your approach to paying down debt? What is the best way do you see to attack those credit cards or attack debt? Is it snowball or is it interest?
I say pick a plan, Drew. Pick a plan, because they both work, right? And some people are more motivated by those small achievements and rewards. So if that's your psychological mindset, then use the snowball effect. Yeah. I would also say that really works if you can pay off that smaller balance in less than 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and tackle the smaller balances, knock the cards down and get them out of the way. But mathematically speaking, if you're a numbers person and you're driven by formulas and equations, mathematically speaking, debt stacking is the fastest way to pay down credit card debt. And like you said, you just simply focus on the credit card with the highest interest rate. You got to pay the minimums on all the other cards.
Right.
But if you find an extra $100 because you put a household budget together, because you made a disciplined plan that said, I'm not going to go into a convenience store for the next 6 months. I'm going to stop going out to eat for the next 6 months. I'm going to stop, you know, I'm going to stop all my subscriptions, Netflix, Spotify, Hulu.
Wow.
You know, at the end of the day, that could be a $100, $200 a month bill. People don't realize it because it's $10.99 here, $14.99 there.
Yeah.
Your kids have Roblox and Xbox and all of these crazy subscriptions. Knock those down out of the way. So once you do that, focus on the card with the highest interest rate. Take any of the extra monies that you have found and apply it towards that card until it's gone. There is no better return on your investment and your dollars right now than paying down revolving credit card debt. Every dollar you knock off your principal balance, it's like getting a 20% return on that investment.
That's so true. You know, I find, first, great advice in terms of attacking the debt. Secondly, I agree with the psychology of it. Once you pay a smaller debt, you feel like, okay, now I've got four, you know, debts I need to address, four credit cards. Now it's three. Now it's two. Whatever. You feel like you're making a victory. You have a win, and it helps you to continue in the process. It's like weight loss. You know, you lose weight, and you say, oh, I'm down 5 pounds. I'm all fired up. I want to lose even more. You know, people they get all pumped up. And the other thing, to your point, you got to make sacrifices. You know, when you're going out and you're buying the fast food or all the subscriptions you talk about, you got to decide, you know, what's important to you and what's not, and be willing to make that sacrifice. I sometimes think make it a spiritual thing. Offer it up, you know, make it meritorious. But there's another aspect, too. You know, what really changed my view of my spending, I had years ago, bought a whether it's QuickBooks or Quicken or, you know, one of those money managing programs. And when you download all your transactions and then you categorize them and you put them into meals and entertainment or utilities or mortgage or whatever, it is almost surprising how much money you spend on meals and entertainment, on, you know, clothing or, you know, personal care or the gym membership or whatever it might be. And I think that's an eye opener for a lot of people, too. I always throw that in the table. Someone's looking to get a hold of their debt, small investment into that, and you can really see where your money's going, and then you can better budget on all that as well.
Yeah, so. And if you don't change your behavior now, all of those things are going to cost even more, especially going out to eat. Like you said, the producers, they're getting hit with higher prices. So they're going to put it down on the consumer. So you got to change your behavior now. I'm not a big doomsayer and panic guy, but maybe we should panic a little bit right now. Right. Maybe you go down to one vehicle. Maybe you start looking into carpooling. Maybe you take mass transit at least a couple of times a week. And like you said, make it a spiritual thing, make it a family affair, yeah. Right? The kids have to realize, have an open, honest conversation. Hey, we're okay, but if we don't change our behavior, yep. We're not going to be okay. So maybe this year you do the staycation, you don't book a big vacation. If you can get another year or two out of the car, get another year or two out of the car. Maybe your children start to contribute. They should have part-time or full-time jobs, depending upon schooling status is. You know, maybe you get a second job. And again, this does not have to be for the rest of your life, but it should be until you're out of credit card debt. If you can just eliminate credit card debt, it is an amazing thing what starts to happen. Because on the other side of credit card debt is savings. You got to remember, a lot of people, you know, they're not even saving for retirement. They're not even saving for the rainy day. If there's one thing the pandemic showed us, nobody had the runway long enough for the crash. We used to talk about a 3-month, 6-month emergency reserve. Yeah, right. Now it's 12, 18, 24 months.
Wow.
So those are the types of things that we have to focus on. And look, unfortunately, people don't even spend 10 minutes a month trying to figure out their finances and where they are. You have to get a hold of this. You have to manage it. And the good news is it does get easier. In the beginning, if you've never done it, it's not easy. Okay. I should say it's certainly not complicated, but it's not easy either. So, take the time, sit down, plan as a family, and just start somewhere. If you don't start, then, that's where you stay on that slippery slope and things are going to get worse.
Paul, hold the thought.
Things are going to get worse right now.
Hold the thought.
And you're going to wind up in a much worse position if you don't change your behavior.
I hate to interrupt you because I value every word that you say. I think it's so important. I've got to take a short pause. I'm up against the clock. Marlene in Yonkers, New York. Jerry in Chicago. Everyone else, we'll do our best to get you on the other side. We're talking today about rising interest rates, what they're going to mean to you, how you best navigate and rise above them, how you can find that freedom. I think it's important on just a number of levels, not just temporally, but I think spiritually, to be free from debt. Marlene, Jerry, everyone else, if you want to try to get in, I'm sorry, 888-914-9149. I've got Paul Auster for just a minute.
You know, we receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters Studio Line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor could support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester. An Illinois Life Insurance Society, not available in all states.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, I don't want your money. That's Chicago. Very good. Maggie, I got to tell you, your little money bumpers are great. You know, so often you hear Pink Floyd, money, or, you hear these classics that often come out. But throw me out some new money bumpers. I like it. Good to have Maggie on the board today. She'll be taking your Twitter intentions. We're going to pray the chaplet coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. So if you want to get him in and you can't get through on the phone lines, that's a good way to do it. If you're just joining me, we're taking a look at rising interest rates. It's kind of a bummer, right? But we are called to be responsible. Proverbs 22:7 says that the rich rules over the poor and the borrower is the slave of the lender, right? That's it's a kind of a true but very frightening scripture verse there. You know, the slave, the borrower is a slave to the lender. Fundamentally is the case. You might feel you'll never get out of it. My guest today, Paul Auster, says that is not the case. There are ways to get out of it. He is a specialist in consumer credit services. He's got a company called Better Qualified. He's the CEO there. So check him out at betterqualified.com, and we'll take your calls and questions for him. Jerry and Marlene have been holding along, so I'm going to start with them, and I'll try to grab some other calls. Jerry, thanks for your patience. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. Love your show. Thank you.
Thanks.
Paul, thanks for taking the time. Really quick question. I have two questions, and if we could get some great. First question is, just need confirmation. I had about 4 credit cards, obviously, foreseeing kind of what was going to happen to a certain extent. Paid them all off with a personal loan at a lot lower rate, working on my credit. Is that a good idea? In my eyes, it is, because I'm paying a lot less and paying a lot done faster with a lower interest rate. But what are your thoughts on that?
It's a great idea. Just be careful that you don't close the cards. You know, depending upon how many other open active accounts you have, typically closing a credit card can be, you know, quite damaging to your FICO score. So if you can keep them open and active, go ahead and do so. You can certainly freeze the accounts so you don't use them anymore until you pay them off in full. But keep them open and active and pay them down. Anything below 10% is going to give you a boost to your credit score. But if you can pay them off in full, you know, go ahead and do that also. That's just awesome. Keep them open.
All right, great question, Jerry. You,
gotcha.
You know the problem with that, and Jerry, be careful with it. I knew a guy who was in your situation, had 4 credit cards, 5 credit cards, and he took a home equity loan out. And that makes sense. You know, home equity loan interest is deductible, right? And he's going to eradicate all of his debt. He's going to consolidate it. And now he had one loan. But then he ended up using his credit cards. So went to 2 credit cards, 3 credit cards. Now he had his big debt there, and he jacked his cards again. So it can be a slippery slope. And Paul, speak to that before I take the next call, just because there's a psychology to debt. It's not just about numbers, is it? It really is about behavior.
No, it's completely about behavior, and specifically with home equity lines of credit. Now, first of all, they adjust immediately. Every time the Fed raises the rate, yep. Home equity lines of credit readjust higher immediately. Adjustable rate mortgages adjust every 12 months. So if you have an adjustable rate mortgage, you should definitely look at refinancing into a 30-year fixed as soon as possible. And if you have a home equity line of credit, remember that it gets reported not as a mortgage, but it's like a credit card. So you have to be really careful about using a home equity line of credit to pay down debt. A personal loan, you know, fixed monthly payment installment contract is a much better way to go, or a home equity loan, you know, for sure. So it's a great idea. But like you said, Drew, the pitfall is that you use the loan to pay down the debt, but then you go ahead and you jack the credit card balances back up. You have to be very, very disciplined. And if you go back to what I said in the beginning, you have to figure out why you're in that position to begin with. There's a great book out there called You're Broke Because You Want to Be. and it might sound a little harsh.
That's a great title.
We really have to look at our behaviors and figure it out. We have to live within our means and you know, come to grips with that. Or, again, figure out how to make more money, how to cut your expenses, because we just do. Like you said, you use one of those free apps that are out there. Mm-hmm. There's softwares that will analyze your debt, and you say, holy cow, I spent, you know, $490, you know, eating out and, you know, stopping for a couple of drinks, meals and entertainment. I mean, those are killers. Convenience stores are killers.
Yeah. Well, look, let me do this. I want to grab Marlene in here too. I said equity loans are deductible. They used to be. I don't know if they still are. I don't know whether the Biden administration or that changed in recent days. I don't know if you can address that. If you can't, no problem. Somebody out there might know. But look when you go to get your equity loan and find out, because that's a factor. Marlene in Yonkers, New York. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you? My question is, I understood that you can call your credit card company and say, hey, I owe $5,000. Would you take one lump sum, $3,500, and they will say, okay, we'll get back to you. I don't think so. And they'll come back and say, okay, you will take $4,000. And they go back and forth and that you don't have to pay the whole amount if you have cash, and you can pay the whole thing off if it's less.
Marlene,
you know,
thank you.
If they take off $1,000 or $2,000, they do it.
Thank you for the call. You know, and Paul, you can speak to this. I'm assuming that's a settlement. That shows up in your credit card, right? It's not, you're not paying your debt in full. He's recorded as settling on that debt, right? And
it gets recorded in the eyes of underwriters. It's like a Chapter 13 bankruptcy for that individual account. It's called credit management. You have to look at all factors. You have to look at the big picture. If that works for you and you can save money, then that could be a good way to do it. But I would, before I do anything like that, I would consult. There's some great nonprofits out there. MoneyInc.org is a great company. And they look at, again, that complete picture to make sure that you don't put yourself, you know, in a hot seat.
You got it. Jim in Minnesota, thanks for your call. It's good to have you with us.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Say, I remember a few years ago, Congress had the opportunity to make the credit card companies lower their interest rates, and they never did that. Was that true?
Paul, did you hear that?
Did they have the opportunity to lower the rates?
Yeah, Congress had the opportunity to make credit cards lower the interest rates. They didn't do it. How true
is that? Yeah, listen, you know, banks are you know, some of the most powerful lobbyists and you know, companies in the country. So they can kind of choose what they can and can't do, or will and won't do. So it's always going to be tied. Their interest rate is directly tied to the prime rate, which is tied to the Federal Reserve rate.
Yeah.
So, you know, look, we have been spoiled. We've been living in a 0% on the Federal Reserve rate, 0% interest for years. Now, as things start to tick up, and it's just, it always seems to happen like a perfect storm. You have inflationary pressures that are at, you know, 40-year highs. The Wharton School of Business, University of Pennsylvania, released a study at the end of this, right? And hopefully it ends sooner than later. But at the very least, the average household, this is going to cost the average household about $3,000 a year. So you could be looking at an extra $300 a month to live the same exact way that you were living six months ago. So that's why I keep preaching change of behavior. Yeah. You know, gotcha. You used to hear the saying, tighten your belt. Now is the time for us to tighten our belts so we don't put ourselves in a position.
Yeah. Look, Paul, thank you. I got to leave it right there, Paul. I want to get people connected to you. If you want more information, check out betterqualified.com.